the like precious faith with them. And I believe there's some here tonight, maybe many here tonight, that have obtained this like precious faith, but there's things that we have to add to that faith and to keep our experience going right. See, you don't just get faith and then quit right there. And we had a lot of folks, we be established in the faith, but now Peter said, I'm writing this book to them that have obtained like precious faith, he said, with us. You know, it always does me good to think that I've got the same faith that Jesus had, because my faith is in him. I've got the same faith that Peter had. I've got the same faith that Paul had. And we all need the same faith. And it's called that like precious faith. How many knows that faith is precious? And he said, them that have obtained like precious faith through what? The righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now he says in verse 2, to underline some of these things. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. Now he's getting ready to set us up a formula here where we don't fall. How many would like to be to the place that you don't fall? Huh? That you're steadfast. That you're unmovable. I don't know whether it's right or not, but Brother Owen said to me, he said, it don't seem like anything bothers you. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, ain't it? If we let something bother us, it affects our faith. It affects our experience with God. Now, if we have faith in God, how do you know it? Now, what is this here establishment? It's settled. It's settled. Now, listen, as soon as something happens that you got to deal with, just say it's already settled. It's in the hands of the Lord. Not going to think about it more, not going to worry about it more, not going to walk the floor. It's settled. Established. It's settled. God can have it. He can work it out. It belongs to him because he will bear our burden and he'll make our burden light. How many knows that? So here we find here that he said, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Then he said in verse 3, according as his divine power, listen to it, has given unto us. Who is us? Those of like precious faith. According as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now listen, let me tell you something. If it's anything that doesn't pertain to life and godliness, God didn't give it. Because in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. St. John chapter 1, verse 4. You listen to this. According as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, according as his divine power, he's given unto us what? All things that pertain to life. He didn't give us things that pertain to death. To be carnally minded, Romans 8 and 6 is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. I favor life and peace. How many favors life and peace? Raise your hand and say, Lord, I thank you for life. I thank you for peace. I thank you for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the power of God. I thank you, Lord. Oh, listen. We can't praise him enough. According to his divine power, he's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge. We have to know it. Knowledge of him that has called us where? Where'd he call you to? To glory and virtue. Now let's go into a few more scriptures here. Let's turn our Bibles back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 and verse 17. If he called us to glory, we're going to see something, ain't we? Now listen what he said here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 and verse 18. The Lord is that Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Now, there ain't bondage, it's liberty. Somebody said, I feel a little bound. Well, that's just your old flesh. If Christ is in you and abounds, you're going to have liberty. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all, with open face, beholding us in the glass, what are we looking at? The glory of the Lord. So he called us to look in to the glory of the Lord. And what happens to us when we look into it? We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're called to glory, to look into this glorious experience, this life, precious faith. And when we look into it, it changes us. Into what? The image that we see. What is the image that we see? Jesus Christ. And we change into his image and be more like him from glory to glory. Oh, I love them glorious experiences. Where he takes you up on a high mountain and you see all these good things, you know, and you have a glorious experience and you have all this blessings, you know, and everything feels so good, and then you meet the devil. But you see, he's there to tempt you. What did Jesus tell the devil? Get behind me, Satan. Yet that's what you need to tell the devil. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to put up with you. I'm not going to listen to you. I don't want you in front of me. I don't want you beside me. I want you behind me. And guess what? If you got that power and you got this here right here, he gets. He knows when he's defeated. He knows who to play around with. He knows who to dabble with. And he knows who not to. He knows when to leave. He knows when he's had enough. He departed from Jesus in the wilderness for a season. But here is what he was saying. I'll be back. You ever get to a place that you just felt like you'd never be tempted again? But just remember, he'll be back. I'll be back. But it don't take you long to get him going if you just handle it right. But you can sit and argue with him days and days and sit around and weep and moan and groan and get nowhere. But God wants us to get to the place that we have the victory, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now listen to what he said, verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given to us great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. How many wants to be partakers of the divine nature? How many know he wants to give us a new nature? That you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. See, this what I'm talking about makes you an escapee. You're no longer in bondage. You're no longer in chains. You're free. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. How many can feel your experience and your chances of your experience getting stronger in the Lord? Huh? Just listen to this. This is not me preaching this. This was Peter preaching this. And I get to go along behind it and preach it again. I'm rehearsing what he said. And he said here in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. Now, get this. Add to your faith. I want to get with you on something tonight. It's very important how we add these things. You don't add them all at once. Add to your faith what? Virtue. Now, what is virtue? That's purity and power. You can't get virtue and power until you have the like gracious faith. Then you add to that faith virtue. Remember Jesus, when the woman touched the hem of his garment, he said, who touched me? Well, they said, you say, who touched you? There's people thronging you from all around. They're touching you from everywhere. But he said, I felt the virtue go out. I felt the power go out. And she was made whole. And you know, he turned to her and said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Your faith. Your faith. I'm telling you, a lot of folks are living a lot below what they ought to with their faith. So add to your faith virtue. Now, I want to get to the tricky one now, and here's what everybody does. I've got a Bible course on this that I've written, and down to in Omaha, Arkansas, and they had just went through that, and they hadn't caught this. And while I was preaching on it, when they caught it, I mean, they just rose and began to shout. They'd missed it even through studying this for weeks. They'd missed it. Add to your faith virtue. Now I want you to notice, what did you add to your faith? Virtue. Now it's important, the sequence, that we add these two. Add to your faith virtue. You can't add knowledge till you get virtue. And then it's add knowledge. What kind of knowledge is that? It's spiritual knowledge. Your mind runs on spiritual instead of carnal. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge what? Temperance. How many knows what temperance is? Now you're getting ready. You've added to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. And now you're getting ready and you've added temperance. How many knows what temperance is? What is it you're adding temperance to? Knowledge. You know how, but you just don't do it. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. How many knows what temperance is? Self-control. Now here's where most people lose it. They get this like precious faith, they add to that faith virtue, and they add to that virtue knowledge, they got plenty of knowledge, then in a time of trouble, they lose it. How many knows what losing it means? They blow up. They do a whole lot. They throw things around. Stick their fists through doors. Oh, somebody said, how do you know all this stuff? Well, because I counsel hundreds of them a year. Just recently, a young preacher, a powerful young preacher. Oh, he had added to his faith virtue. He had added to virtue knowledge. And he had the temperance. But some things went wrong. And he blew it. He come to me, he said, now what do I do? I said, you go back and start from scratch again. That's what nobody wants to do. You don't want it, I don't want it, we don't want to go back and start from scratch again. Huh? But you have to. You got to go back and get that faith renewed. Operation again, and add to your faith virtue. You got to get that power renewed, that cleanness back in there. Get your mind clean. Huh? Well, I got some of you really with me. I'm here to help you tonight, not hurt you. I'm here to get you something where you can stand. You've got power on the inside of you. You've got that power in you. And the virtue knowledge and the knowledge temperance. So then when you blow it, then you've got to go back and renew your faith. That's repentance. Renew your virtue. Renew your knowledge. Get your mind working again. Because ain't nobody in their right mind when they blew it. Because they're fighting everything, including themselves. You know, they blew it. So then you get back and you go run that all through again, then you get temperance. Oh, we're just sailing down the road, and pretty soon we run up a thing that requires patience. And the next one of these that you add to your temperance is patience. I had another young preacher told me one time, you know, he was waiting on the Lord. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And he had all this together, you know, and he come up against something, and he was having to wait with patience. How many of us, when you wait, you're waiting with patience. And he said to me, he said, I'm tired of sitting and doing nothing. I'm going to do something, even if it's wrong. And he did. And every bit of it was wrong. He said, what do you do now? I said, you turn right around, go clear back to the faith. And it don't take long. We're thinking about suffering for weeks and all. How many knows God is a good God? And he knows how we are. And if we'll just lay it down before him, he'll get that over in a day. Or less than a day, you'll be back upon faith. How many knows how Peter was? He got the cursing up against this is the man that wrote this. You think he don't know how to get this done? Peter wrote this. He backed up against the fire and was cursing, said, I didn't know him. Oh, you was with him. Oh, he got madder. And the rooster crowed. He said, I guess I better head for scratch. Huh? I tell you what, a lot of folks needs to head for scratch. How many knows that? They get back and scratch it all out, get started again, and get on to the thing. Don't think we're putting anything. We're not going to skip anything with God. He's going to make us go through the paces. So patience. You can blow it in patience. I've waited, and I've waited, and I've waited. Well, so what? Time doesn't mean anything with God. That's why we're waiting for some reason, and God wants us to have this patience. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold,
the husbandman
waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. James chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 7 tells us that. Be patient. Either that or you got to go back to scratch. You know, I just got tired one day going to scratch. It means that some of you, you look like you're tired of going to scratch. Oh, that brother there, he just touches my heart somehow, brother. Amen. Glory to God. To go back to scratch, it don't hurt. How many knows it don't hurt to repent? How many knows what Peter's great message was? In the third chapter of Acts of the Apostles, verse 19, repent ye therefore. Can you imagine him preaching that? He knowed how it was. He'd repented lots of times. He'd been on the scratch file lots of times. He knowed all about this, so he's writing us a book here so we won't have to go through the things that he went through. This Bible is written so we can read it and get it on the inside of us, and we don't have to go through what we're going through. It's written by men of old, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Remember, Acts 3:19, he said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing when you're not scratching. When a revival comes and you don't have to get scratched. You don't have to go back to scratch. You're ready, because the blessings are coming from the presence of the Lord. And you'll be ready for them, because you've passed the test and you've went through these things, and you're not going to give up what you gained. Sometimes you'll have to just fight for what you gain. All right. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. Now that leads to something that nobody can get unless they got these things before. And to patience what? Let's all say that. Godliness. To be godly. How many knows what to be godly? I don't believe most folks even know what godliness is anymore. They just think I can do what I want to. No, you've got to be godly. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness. Now notice how you're adding them. You're not adding them all directly to faith. You're adding one to another, and that's important, because you can't do it all at one time. And I can't either. I had to come up and understand this as I was studying it. Godliness. And to godliness what? Brotherly kindness. You can just tell some folks how they've really gained that brotherly kindness, as they're so mean-natured towards one another. I don't like him. Well, you're supposed to love him. Somebody said, but he's mean as a junkyard dog. That's the one the Lord loves the most. Somebody said, I remember when he done that. And I remember when he done that. Now, don't worry about that. It's all forgiven. Get the thing behind you and get godliness. And godliness wants us to have, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. Add to your patience. Godliness. I want to get this over to you. Godliness. Then when you begin to walk godly, like him as much as you can. And you can. Paul got to the place, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do it within myself, but with him, I can walk it out. With him, I can do it. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, everybody ought to practice that. You ever, every morning get up and say, now, I want to be brotherly kind to everybody. I want to be brotherly kind. You know, one pastor told me one time, he said, I believe I guess he must have had a bunch of mean ones in his church. He said, I believe, and I know he shouldn't have told me that, but he said, I believe that some of them get up every morning and practice how mean they can look. You know, people may do that. I don't know, but he thought some of his was. You know, I guess they come to church looking mean. I guess when they sit a brotherly kindness, they wouldn't shake your hand. You know, there's a song about that. Preacher wouldn't even shake their hand. Yeah, let's get off of that and let's go on. To brotherly kindness, what? Charity. How many knows what charity is? Charity is godly love. It's God's love. You get to where you love. No, you don't have to love with your kind of love, but you love with God's love. You feel compassion upon those that's mean and ugly and nasty spirits. You get to where you love them, and pretty soon you'll win them to God. Listen to me. You'll win that person to God. The whole key to the whole thing, church, is for us to live this kind of a life and win souls. The church needs to, has forgot what it was founded for. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So we add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. Now listen to this. If these things be in you, they got to be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in what? In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going to become a fruitful person in the knowledge of God. If these things you've added to your faith, to virtue, to knowledge, to temper, if these things be in you, how many knows what the word abound means? Lots of it. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But now, here's the importance that we have these. But he that lacketh these things is what? Not a blind Christian. They need their sight. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. He that lacketh these things is blind. He can't see afar off. He's forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election what? Sure. Let's say sure. Make your calling and election sure. Now here's the positive part of this. If you do these things, ye shall never... Now am I teaching you something that puts you on a rock where you're not going to fall? That don't mean once grace, always grace. That means you can fall, but he that doeth these things. He that doeth these things, if you don't do them, you're blind, you can't see afar off. You've forgotten that you were purged from your old sin. But if you do these things, practice being real nice to that nasty person. Sometimes I practice, they go across the street to keep beating it, and I just cross the street and meet them head on. How you doing, brother? Well. Oh, God. And cheer them up a little bit. Huh? And after a while, they'll get over whatever's bothering them. And then they'll come to church, they'll always remember the attitude you have. And let me say something. You can't say something nasty to somebody or about somebody or something. They'll always remember that. You can't take it back. Anything that you say that's wrong, you can't take it back. You can ask forgiveness, but you can't take it back. So it's good. That's why the Bible said about the tongue. You know, we got to have this tongue sanctified. This tongue's got to be a tongue of fire. That's what they got on the day of Pentecost. It said they saw tongues of fire, Acts chapter 2. And they saw tongues of fire, and it set in upon each and every one. And after a while, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they begin to speak with other tongues. You know, they're different kind of tongues. I'll tell you something, not just these tongues of nationalities and everything, but when you get filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, you have another tongue. You don't curse with. James said, with the tongue we curse, or can we bless? Does sweet water and bitter water come out of the same fountain? No. We can't curse with the tongue. We got to get the tongue straightened out. And that's what the Holy Ghost and fire is. The fire is for the tongue. The power, you know, the tongue has power. It has power to curse. It has power to bless. I got to get off of this too. Just be sure everybody's tongue is straightened out. Just be sure we're talking the right stuff. You know, it don't do any good to go to church if we blow it with our temper and our tongue and everything else. God wants a godly people. He wants a people with power. He wants you to be able to lay hands on the sick. He wants you to cast out devils. It said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. How many is a believer here? You can cast out devils. You can speak with other tongues. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall and cast out devils because you're a believer. These signs follow the believer, not just the preacher. You know, it always troubles me just a little bit when somebody goes to visit somebody at the hospital, supposed to be a Holy Ghost filled Christian, and they say, I'm going to send my preacher down to pray for you. Why don't they pray for him? Huh? Yeah, let's clap your hands. Why don't they pray for him? They're confessing they've lost the faith, or they don't have enough faith. Now, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and he can't see afar off, and he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, brethren, be diligent to give your calling and election sure, for you do these things, you'll never fall. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling sure. If you do these things, you'll never fall. Now, here we're going to come into another one here. For so an entrance, how many wants to enter in to the presence of the Lord? Amen. How many really wants to enter in? Raise your hand if you want to enter into the presence of the Lord. Listen what it said, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All this here that we've just had was something that would take us to a grand entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's our destiny if we do these things. It's our loss if we don't do these things. We're blind. We can't see it far off. Now we'll go right back in the next verse. Tells us about something else that we've preached about. The established. Now, I want to tell you what these people are that we preached about this morning. These are established people in the Word, in the Spirit, in the things of God. They're established. See, they've established faith. This is like precious faith with us, Peter said. They've established the faith. They've established the knowledge. They've established the virtue. They've established this in their life. That goes along with their life. Huh? And listen to what it says here. Wherefore, verse 12. How many's got your Bibles? I want you to mark it, take it home, read this over and over and over and over. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Peter said, I'm going to keep on preaching about these things that I've told you, to add to your faith, the virtues of knowledge, and faith. These things, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you knew them, and be established in the present truth. Now, I haven't got time tonight, but I'd like to have an hour to get into established into the present truth. This present truth. John 8:32 said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And he goes on, he said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This present truth is none other than Jesus Christ. Remember on the mountain of transfiguration, Moses and Elias disappeared. They were actually consumed into Christ. Their works were still remembered. But guess what happened? The voice from heaven told Peter, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. He is our pattern in everything. Oh, that Paul said in the third chapter of the book of Philippians, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. If we could just all know him in the fullness of the power of his resurrection. You see, these things that I'm talking about tonight makes your workload easier when you're on the job. The lady came to me in the revival I was at in St. Louis one time, and I noticed she looked really down. She looked beat. And after the service, she came up for prayer. And I said, sister, something's bothering you, and it's really going to affect your life if you don't get rid of it right now. She said, you're right. She said, on my job, there's not another Christian. And said, I'm having a terrible time because of this, and everything just goes wrong. And I said, is there another person that's
not in your particular department, but close enough where you can meet with them at noon and pray. And she said, oh, yeah, there's another Christian lady over there. I said, why don't you just meet at noon every day and every chance you get and pray and seek God and pray? And she said, the boss has got me. Me? She said, that's somebody that didn't know how that is. Amen. Me and boss. Oh, she said, it's rough on that job. We prayed for her, and I told her what to do. I come back about 6 months later for in another revival, and you could just see the Lord beaming from her. I mean, she just lit up like a Christmas tree. She didn't look drugged down. She didn't look beat. And after a while, she talked to me. She said, what you told me worked. Said, we got to praying, and everybody else got in a good humor on the job, and the boss even's nice now. You know, sometimes you can get the boss prayed through, too, or he can feel what's on the inside of us. Did you know people around about us, they have feelings. I remember before I was saved, I could tell whether a person's sincere or not, just by my feelings. And I'd say, I don't feel that person just exactly what they think they are, or say they are. But we don't go by feelings altogether. But that's part of it. And we'll begin to feel better when we practice these things. We get up every morning and read them. Say, now today I'm going to add whatever you need, virtue. My faith is going to has grown to an experience, then I'm going to add virtue. And then I'm going to add the virtue knowledge and temperance and patience. Praise God. As they sing a song, is there anybody that wants prayer tonight? Now I hope that this helped you. And if it hasn't, I want you to tell me. But if you start practicing this, it's going to be a whole new life for you. It's going to be a new life. It's going to be a brighter life. Because you're doing things that please God. And I forgot that this morning about the company commander that was so rough, you know, about having the bed made this right and no paper on the floor and all those kind of stuff. And guess what? I made up my mind, that's when I was in the service, in the CBs. And I made up my mind, you know, I thought, well, now what can I do that'll bring his anger down? I said, I know what I'll do. I'll do everything I can to please him. You know, Jesus, they done always the thing that pleases him. Jesus said about the Father, he said, the Father is always with me, for I do always the thing that pleases him. You know what that worked with that old rough company commander? He began to come around and say, how you doing today, Bucker?